Thank you again for singing and participating in the service with us. I appreciate that. Thank you to Anwar, Pastor Anwar, Daniel, and Shiloh for playing and accompanying us. Right now, we're going to go into the Word of God. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. So 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 5. Here's what it says. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this day. I thank you for technology that will allow me to speak to the members of Kauai Baptist Church, that will allow me to preach the Word of God, not just to those who are in our church, but now, God, we have the opportunity to preach your Word to anybody who has internet access and anybody who can come across this on YouTube, on our church website, even on Facebook Live. And so, God, I do pray that you would use me this morning. I pray that you would allow me to preach your truth in a powerful way to the people that desperately need hope today. And so, God, I pray that you bless this message, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I want to look at a very powerful text from 2 Peter. And really, I believe that what we have this morning is timely for Christians who are living in a current global crisis. Our world needs now more than ever Christians to be Christian. We need people to demonstrate these qualities that we see in this text to our world that is desperately needing some hope. So 2 Peter begins with a reminder to consider our like precious faith. We saw this a couple of weeks ago on our Sunday morning service, like precious faith. Wow, it's incredible to have this faith. And it is by this faith, this like precious faith, that grace and peace are multiplied to us through the knowledge of God. Do we need today grace and peace? Yeah. We do, and we need grace and peace multiplied to us through the knowledge of God. It's also by this faith, this like precious faith, that we know that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So we are living in a global pandemic. I have seen pastors say, I don't remember the college class where they said, this is what you need to do in the middle of a global pandemic. And the reality is there was no class. There was no instruction. But the truth is that God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, even in the current situation in which we find ourselves. Yeah, I find it frustrating. It is frustrating. We cannot gather together as a church like we're called to do, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I would like that. But for a short time in history, and by the way, this is not an unusual thing for the church throughout history. There have been times in which certain churches have had to postpone their gatherings for weeks, sometimes even months, due to things that are beyond their control. So here we are. God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, even in the midst of a global pandemic. And it's also by faith that we see exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The first four verses of 2 Peter are life-changing. Unbelievable. But this morning, the text kind of takes an unusual turn. Now that we have this like precious faith, there are some things that God wants us to add to our faith. The first thing that we need to look at here is adding to our faith. Let's look at verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. I want to focus on this phrase to start, giving all diligence. We are partakers of the divine nature, but once we become a child of God, growth in the Christian life does not just happen. We got to be involved in this. And this is such a powerful point for us and Christians today. It seems like some Christians today have the mindset that as long as I just sit back and have some faith, God will do a work in me and I won't have to do anything by myself. And the reality is we are to give all diligence to our walk with God. These amazing qualities are not things that the Lord simply pours into us as we passively receive them. Maybe say, I'm just going to go to church and pastor's going to preach and I'm just going to receive what he has and God will do that in my heart and I can walk out changed. And the reality is, God has called us to give all diligence to these things, working in partnership with God to add these things to our life, but there has got to be some definite work on our part. I want to be careful how I say this, but we're not talking this morning about the fruit of the Spirit, something that God produces in you. But we're also, at the same time, not talking about, in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. This is something that you, in your flesh, give all diligence to. Not in the sense of your worldly flesh, but you've got to have character, work ethic for these things to be added, diligence to be added. We're going to see this in the very first quality. Add to your faith. What do we add to our faith? So now we believe God. We have these exceeding great and precious promises. Whereby these promises we receive the divine nature. Wow. Because of this faith, this like precious faith, we are to add now to that faith virtue. Virtue. What is virtue? What is it? And really, when you go to the dictionary definition of virtue, the definition is high moral standards. Virtue is not something you require of others. It is something that you diligently demand of yourself, giving all diligence to your own virtue. Add to your faith virtue. So what are we talking about here? When we tend to think of right and wrong morality, which is correct when we talk about virtue, when we talk about morality, but we often don't apply virtue to the most basic and necessary parts of life. What we do is we say, well, I believe that this is right, and I believe that this is wrong. That's a moral belief. But virtue goes a little bit further than that. We tend to think of moral standards as positions that we hold, not necessarily things that we do or character qualities that we possess. We don't think of having a strong work ethic as necessarily being a moral issue. But it is. It absolutely is. Having a strong work ethic is absolutely a moral issue, and it is absolutely virtue. Strong character, same thing. If I was to ask you, where might we find some of these qualities of virtue in the Bible? What would you say? If I was to say to you, where is, what person in the Bible, where can we find somebody who's virtuous? Maybe a virtuous woman. And I think right now, all of our minds, if we have any kind of familiarity with the Bible, we go, oh, man, let's go to Proverbs 31. And you're right. I would agree. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, gives us a wonderful example of somebody, a woman, who is virtuous. And I want to take you there this morning. Turn with me to Proverbs 31 and verse number 10. Here's what it says. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does faithfully trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then the Bible goes into the qualities of this woman that we find, that the Bible finds virtuous. Look at these. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She works. Work ethic. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up while it is yet night. Character, discipline, work ethic. These are virtuous. This is virtue. And giveth meat to her household and portions to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard with the fruit of her hands. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candeth goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates while he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles to the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Virtue is moral, right and wrong, and is directly connected to discipline, work ethic, character. You and I need to now add virtue to our faith. Then the Bible says, adding to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is true facts or information acquired through experience or education about God. Adding knowledge to virtue. Temperance. Temperance has the idea of self-control. It's not ruled by fleshly desires. It's disciplining yourself to say no to yourself. Specifically, in this context, in the area of sexual desires. Then, patience. It's the idea of the ability to accept or tolerate delay. Godliness. How much are you like Christ? Godliness. Then add to godliness brotherly kindness. This word, and the reason why I mention this word is translated from the Greek word Philadelphia, which is the Greek word for brotherly love. Brotherly kindness. You know what has grieved my heart throughout this COVID-19 pandemic? Is to see God's people, preachers even, the way that we treat each other over how a church manages this crisis. Man, nobody has ever gone through anything like this ever before. And there are opinions, and good opinions, and there are opinions, they're not so good. But the reality is, the way people are treating each other, whether you cancel church and have it online like we are this morning, or you defy your government and you decide to have a meeting with everybody present, we'll argue and we'll fight, and we need to have brotherly kindness towards each other. And I want to admonish you, if you're a believer and you're watching this, man, you need to, this is something that you need in your heart, brotherly kindness towards the people of faith, of like precious faith. And then you add brotherly kindness, charity or love. The truth is the world is scared right now. They need the people of God to rise up with the love of God in their hearts. And that love of God needs to be shed abroad in our hearts so that we might spread it abroad in our communities and our neighborhoods. We need the love of God right now. Yes, people are scared. There's things, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds my hand. I know the God of all creation has got this. And we need to shed his love abroad in our community. Do you love your neighbor? Right now, do you love your neighbor? Do you love the random people that you run into at the store? Man, I went to the store the other day and it was so sad. Everybody was so quiet. Nobody was smiling. Everybody was on edge, a little bit irritated, a little bit tense. We need to have the love of God spread abroad in our hearts. Absolutely. Do you love the ones who are trying to hoard all the toilet paper? Yeah, God's called us to charity. God's called us to love. A few weeks ago, I started a new practice, and I was feeling particularly down in my heart. I was feeling a little bit discouraged, and a dear friend and church member, Pete McCormick, had just passed away, and my heart was grieving, and along with that, there was the news that one of our council members, along with several other members of our community, were arrested for running a drug ring. Unbelievable. On our island. And I was angry at that, and I was hurt because there was many families that were torn apart by that and what happened. There's this hurting things going on, and I was feeling a little bit down. In the midst of all of this, our youngest daughter is teething, and that's fun. And the thing is I tried to give my wife a break because she always wants to cling on to her mom, and it's difficult for Hanukkah. And so I said, you know, I'll give you a break, and the only thing that soothes her is putting her in a stroller and walking up and down the street. It's the only thing. And so here I was pushing my daughter up and down the street, feeling a little starry in my heart, feeling a little down in my heart, and I decided to talk to God about it, which is, I think, a good thing to do. So I started talking to God. I was like, God, why is this happening? What's going on, man? Pete was a good guy. We needed him in our church. We need him in our church. He leaves big shoes to fill. Timing didn't seem right. It wasn't... And then all this other craziness going on, I was, man, what's going on, God? And he began to speak to my heart. And I looked at the house as I was walking by of one of my neighbors down the street, and suddenly there was a voice that hit my heart. He said, Nathan, are you praying for them? Are you praying for your neighbors? When's the last time you prayed for your county council member? When's the last time you prayed for your community? When's the last time you loved these people? We get so busy in our lives doing all of these things that we think are so important. And Christian God has called us to love people. And we need to get back to that as Christians. We need to get back to that as God's people. We need to love people. Show them charity. And tears started flowing down my cheeks. As I realized, God, I need to bring these people, my neighbors, my precious neighbors, before your throne and beg you to intervene into their lives. And many of them now need it more than ever. They're losing jobs. We're scared for our lives. Could our elderly die? What's going to happen? We don't know. And we need God's people to interject the love of God and start praying for some people right now. We need you to start loving people. So why is all of this important? Why do we give all diligence to add these things to our faith? Let's look at the second thing. These qualities are necessary for fruit. Look at verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If these things are in you, if they be in you and abound, if it is evident to everyone that these things be in you and they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The words barren and unfruitful sadly characterize many of the lives of Christians today. They lack these qualities. They don't have virtue. They don't have knowledge. They're not adding these things to their faith. They're not diligent in these areas. They don't have temperance or fleshly control or self-control. They don't have patience. The ability to tolerate delay. And they're not abounding in us. And therefore, we're unfruitful. You know, the truth is we may feel good about having these qualities from time to time. You know, I think from time to time, you know, I have given myself diligently to knowledge. I may have work ethic from time to time. I may have a good, strong character from time to time. I may have patience from time to time, even godliness. I'm like Christ every once in a while. But the word here is abound. These things should abound in us. Because we realize he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. It says we have eye trouble. I'm nearsighted. Most people don't know this about me, but I wear contacts. I have glasses at home, rarely wear them. But every day I put on contacts because I'm nearsighted. I can't see far out. And the Bible says spiritually we are nearsighted. We're unable to see God. We're unable to see God at work. We're unable to see the fact that we are living in light of eternity and we are struggling in this life because all we can see is this day and the next day and this week. We don't realize that this life is temporary and eternity. That's where it's really at. We become blind and nearsighted, thinking only about this life. And it shows that we've forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. One thing that this COVID-19 issue has reminded me of is the selfishness of man. Even Christians, even pastors are selfish. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and the first part of the second verse says this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Love their selves. It's all about me. We don't have the ability to sacrifice for others. We all struggle with that right now. And the reason we do this, according to this passage of Scripture, is that we have forgotten that we were cleansed from our old sins. We were purged from our old sins. We've forgotten. Never forget where you came from, Christian. Never forget the great price that was paid to purge your sins. Don't ever forget. Always remind yourself. Always, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Yes, He saved me. We appreciate that. We're reminded of that. But don't ever forget that. And then thirdly this morning is make sure. Let's look at verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So again, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. This shows that we have to be sure. We can be sure that God has called us and that we are His elect. It is by doing these things spoken of in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Faith, adding to our faith virtue, adding to our virtue knowledge, adding to our knowledge temperance, adding to our temperance patience, adding to our patience godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And as we see these things in our life, we know that our lives are becoming more and more like Jesus. And it shows that we are being conformed to the image of His dear Son. You know, the truth is, this morning, it's possible for an unsaved person to do many moral and religious duties.
But these things that Peter wrote of are a matter of our heart. It's a matter of a heart that's been born again. It's a matter of a heart that's been made new. It's a matter of a heart that's turned towards God. And it should be evident in anyone who's been born again. Simply said, if you are called, if you are elect, then we are born again. And if you're born again, then it shows up in the way we live, by having these things. For if you do these things, you will never fall. To me, that is an amazing statement, a powerful statement. In pursuing these things, we keep from stumbling. Continual growth and process in the Christian life is sure if we do these things. And then entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter reminds us here that the great reward of a calling and election made sure is that we would enter heaven gloriously, not as though through fire, as 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 15 reminds us. You know, the truth is this morning, I don't want to get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. Just barely limping in. I made it, barely, but I made it. No, I want to enter heaven having on fire for God, living for God, working out these things in my life. Not stumbling, not barely getting by. When I want to get to heaven, I don't want people to have to dig to try to find some testimony of faith. Did he really believe? Was he saved? I don't know. There are two ways of entering a port. A ship may come in waterlogged and barely afloat. They're continuing bailing water, barely making it, getting to the port, just barely tie it up and get everything off because this ship is just barely made it. Or you can enter the port glorious. Every sail set, floating with dignity. A thing that people want to look at and admire. That's incredible. Take pictures of, because that is glorious. And that's the way we want to live our Christian life, not limping through life, not barely making it by. But with great virtue, great determination, and great effort, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you limping into heaven? Maybe it's time to make a decision this morning to be diligent. And then four, we need to be reminded. First, look at verse 12. Wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. He says, wherefore? Peter just wrote about the promise of entrance into the everlasting kingdom of God. And because coming to that kingdom is so important, it is helpful and necessary for Peter to remind you always of the basics of the Christian life. I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Even though we know it, even though his readers knew it, in light of what was at stake, it was worth going over these things again and again. Established in the present truth. He would establish and strengthen us by reminding us of the basics of the Christian life. And then I want you to see Peter's heart, verses 13 and 14. Yea, I think it meet, or right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. He said, I think it meet, or that word meet means right. Because of what is at stake, Peter knew it was right to remind people constantly. Especially because he knew that his days on this earthly life were soon coming to an end. He said, shortly I must put off this tabernacle. What's interesting about that is Peter considered this body and this life no more than a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a temporary place to live. A tabernacle should be taken care of, but you wouldn't invest large amounts of resources into fixing up a tabernacle. You save your real resources for a more permanent place to live. Our more permanent place to live is heaven. And we should invest more in heaven than in our tabernacle, our physical body. It reminds me of our old building. We're right now, I'm in our old building, and we've got plans to build a new building. They're at the county right now, going through the county process for approval. And we're hoping one day to tear down this building and build a brand new big building in its place. And because of that, there are things that we feel that could be replaced if this building was going to be our building for the rest of our time here on this earth. Now, we fix safety things and things of that nature. We want to get things safe for our members. But the reality is there's a lot of things around here in this church that are ugly, straight up ugly. And if this was our church building forever, we'd fix them up nice. But it's not. We know, Lord willing, should this pandemic pass, should we get back to normal life, we're going to tear down this building. We're going to build a new one. Praise God. And because of that, we're careful not to invest a ton of money into this current building. And that's the same concept. That's the same idea that you and I should have when it comes to this body. Doesn't mean we don't exercise or take care of it or go to the doctor or not be precautious. But it's temporary. Lay up the major investments ahead in heaven. I endeavor that you may be able to, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And so Peter prepares for the future. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in your remembrance. Peter put this letter, this reminder together so that the people of God would have a constant reminder even after his departure. Peter seemed aware of the significance of the passing of the apostles and the need to preserve the authoritative teaching of the apostles and the prophets. This writing was given to give that remembrance. And so it is that we should, as we prepare for our future, whatever that future may be, to have these qualities in our life, to give all diligence to these things. We live in a crazy world. This is a crazy time with crazy viruses and crazy people. So the first question is, do you have faith? Are you sure? Are you sure you know Jesus as your Savior? If you were to die from this COVID-19 virus, or if you were to die today, are you sure that Jesus is your Savior? Are you sure? Do you know for sure? How do you know? Boy, today I'd like to invite you to come to know Jesus as your Savior. Today is the day of salvation. You can be saved by believing on his name, by trusting Jesus as your Savior. And if you are saved, are you giving all diligence to add to your faith? This isn't going to happen by itself. It's a cooperative effort between you and God. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity or love. Did you add these things? Can you add these things to your faith, even in a crazy world? That's our calling. That's our job. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for our church. Lord, I pray that you be with our island in these desperate times. I pray that you'd bring healing to those that are sick. I pray that you'd bring calm to the weary and stressed out hearts. Lord, there's a lot of people on edge. There's a lot of fear. So God, would you help us as the people of God bring the peace of God, the love of God to our communities? God, would you help us not live in fear, but to boldly do these things that you've called us to do, and that we might give all diligence to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Would you do a work with us? We thank you for this time. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching. If you're a member of our church, we'll be reaching out to you for how you can participate in some Zoom meetings, for how you can study the Bible. We'll talk about this message. We'll try to apply the truth to our lives, and we'll be challenged in these groups. So pay attention to your email. If we don't have your email, if you can send it to me,
whether it's on Facebook or otherwise, but we love you. We're praying for you. If you have any needs at all, if you need toilet paper or food or supplies, please reach out to the church. We'll be happy to give it for you, especially if you're our kapuna or if you are a high-risk individual. We'll be happy to help you out. We'll leave it there for you on your doorstep. Make sure that you're well taken care of. But we love you. Praying for you. Pray that we get through this quickly and get back to serving God full force and gathering together of the saints. Thank you for watching. God bless and aloha.